They may not like it at first. They may feel very uncomfortable because it's not their natural way of working, but they're seeing that, hey, this is okay. I can be a little challenged, or maybe I needed that little push to get me over the edge to see that I can do this, that I'm pretty good at this. So building their esteem, building their confidence, and helping them be more curious. I guess I can't emphasize that word enough.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Cheryl Adas. Cheryl, how are you today? It's amazing to be with you.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. You are the Chief Transformation Officer at CA Consulting. Let's start there. What exactly is a Chief Transformation Officer?
Well, one of the things that I like to think about is, as we are all have unlimited potential, and as we come into our world and our careers, into life, we could do anything we want to be. So I like to think that I help people building that momentum and unleashing the power of people and unleashing that unlimited potential that we all have. So that's that transformation that we make.
I love it. Unleashing the power of people. And let's dive right into exactly how you do that. What are some of the, I know you teach a course. What are some of the ways that you unleash that power of people?
Well, thanks for asking. So one of the things, the course that I facilitate is through the MCC, Workforce and Economic Development Group. It's called Conscious Leader, Conscious Culture. Sometimes we call it Developing the Conscious Leader. It's an 8-week program where it's a half a day session once a week for 8 weeks. And it's transformational because, again, leadership courses, you can't go for a day or 2 days and think that you're going to come out different. But after these 8 weeks, we truly have seen people transform from, you know, I came to class because my manager told me to be here. I don't know why I'm here. And to they come out of it going, this is awesome. I really now feel I belong, that I am a leader and are, can make a difference with their people. And not just their people at work, but their people at home. And some of the things we do, what we do is we set a foundation that first week, just kind of what is a conscious leader? What is the business world out there? What's the business roundtable? What is the purpose of a corporation? What is what? How should we be working together? And we ask people to be curious. And that is something that holds them through these whole 8 weeks. Be open-minded and be curious. The first couple of classes after that, we focus on developing them. It's looking at a DISC assessment, which really helps them understand their communication style and how others may be different than them. We also have an assessment called the Actualized Leader Profile, which helps you understand your leadership style and the shadows that may come with that style that then affect the culture of the team that you're developing. So how your leadership style affects the team. And then we get into emotional intelligence, going on to through that into change management, how to hold effective meetings, thinking about trust, as well as generational differences. And there's 5 generations in the workforce today. And we talk about how maybe we're a little bit more the same than we are different at the end of the day. And then it ends with just a report out that they talk about what happened to them on their journey and what are they going to do post class to keep things going? What's it going to be like a week from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? So it's awesome just to see the transformation. And I couldn't be more pleased to have, we have over 600, probably over 700 graduates at this stage of the game.
Wow, so 600 to 700 or more graduates. So walk us through, here's some alliteration. Let's call it a transformation testimonial. Today's, and we're recording this on a Tuesday, and it comes out on a Tuesday. So Tuesday's transformation testimonial. Walk us through, and you don't have to say who they are if you think they might be uncomfortable with it, but walk through a story or a testimonial of two of one of these great transformations you got to experience and be a part of.
Oh, thank you. There was one, I worked with a local company who was a startup, and their two CEOs came to me to say, you know, we want to get an infrastructure and developing our culture before it just becomes just chaos as a startup. And so the two CEOs with their senior leadership team all went through this training. And we could see actually some of them, their presentations were absolutely awesome. And as they went through this, and now we actually have continued to have, as they're developing leaders in their organization, more people come through. Well, last spring I had a gal who was, she reported to one of the senior people that had been through the class before. And she was saying, I am so excited to go through this course, because my boss went through it last fall with you, and we could see the changes in her as she was going through the course. It was totally awesome. She is the best manager now that we have had, and I want to find that go through this course and find that transformation for me so that I can become a great leader like she is. And I was just taken aback of, oh my gosh, how awesome is that, that you feel that way about your boss and that you want to transition as well and know that it's a journey. So
I love hearing success stories like that. Obviously it's an eight week course, right? So there's a transformation there. I find personally, I'll watch a YouTube video and I'll get all pumped up and like pump my fist, ready to go, ready to rock and roll. But sometimes that doesn't lead to a transformation. That just leads to a little bit of excitement for the day. Why do you think that the repetition with 8 weeks or specifically your course leads to a higher transformation than just that ooh-rah moment?
Well, it's a good point, because we provide actually, it's you learn it, you practice it, and you apply it. So during that week between classes, we actually give them activities to go out to talk to people in the workplace or practice and applying what we have talked about. So, and then we come and we talk about it the next week. It's so important to have that opportunity, as well as we hold them accountable to commit to each other in the class. That first week, we do team commitments. How are we going to make the most out of this together? And things like starting and ending on time, but also making sure that we hold each other to do the homework in between the courses so that we are holding each other accountable, that we are seeing the difference in each other, and we can effectively have a productive conversation because somebody didn't go, oh, I didn't do the homework, right? Or I didn't do it. So they hold each other accountable. And over time, they are seeing, you know, they may not like it at first. They may feel very uncomfortable because it's not their natural way of working, but they're seeing that, hey, this is okay. I can be a little challenged, or maybe I needed that little push to get me over the edge to see that I can do this, that I'm pretty good at this. So building their esteem, building their confidence, and helping them be more curious. I guess I can't emphasize that word enough.
Presenting a challenge, they succeed. It builds their esteem. It gives them approval. It makes them more curious. This is amazing. So obviously this sounds like it could help virtually anyone, but is there the right kind of person for a program like this? Like if I were to call you and say, I'm a this kind of person looking for this, or I'm a blank looking for blank, does this suit anyone, or who is the right person for a program like this?
Well, honestly, we have had folks who are just starting a supervisory. They've not ever supervised people before, and they're in a new supervisory role. to we have had CEOs as well as C-level executives in the class that are trying to understand what their folks have gone through and want to be part of this, or want to make sure this is the right fit for their culture of what we're facilitating. Honestly, we were actually doing a lot of work with just first-time supervisors, first-time managers for this one organization. And they were seeing, we had done over 100 people in their organization, and they started seeing such a change in their people that the executives started coming to the class because they're like, I got to see what's going on in this class.
Wow.
Because these folks are coming back truly in a better mindset, in a better state. They're enjoying their work. They're just really, they saw the transformation and the difference in them. So it's just really exciting.
I love it. I do find it exciting to see all the success, and you're noticing employees around you are getting better. So you want to get better as well. Suddenly the whole team's on board. I want to talk a little bit more about you and your background and your purpose. I'm tremendously interested in this course, so I'm asking questions kind of for myself, but I don't want this to sound like a marketing pitch for it. I want to get to know Cheryl on a personal level, and I'm sure the audience does as well, beyond just me. Well, where did you get your start? Like, you didn't just roll out of bed one day and say, I'm going to be a course instructor, right? I'm going to teach leadership. What was kind of like that trajectory timeline that led you to this day?
It's really interesting. I think I've always been, in any role that I have had in my work life, I've always had this, well, okay, I'll do some training. I'll help, you know, somebody else learn the ropes, because I know what it's like to not know the job. And I've been thrown into my whole life of on the job training, if you will. Right. So grew up in a restaurant. My degree is in hotel restaurant management from Michigan State University. Go Spartans. And I actually just know that there's some folks just don't take the time to really help somebody else know that you've been there once yourself. You know, have a little kindness, be a little curious, and, you know, don't be so judgmental. How do we break that habit of judgment and build this habit of learning in others, that curiosity? So how I got my start was actually when I was working for Marriott Hotels. I was a regional reservations manager for our 1-800 number at the reservation center for Marriott. And we were asked to go up and do a little training off the cuff, just kind of like Cheryl, go up and, you know, teach something. And I'm thinking, so off the top of my head,
just go up and teach something.
What am I going to teach? And the thing that was in my head was the 6 P's of performance. So I don't know if you know the 6 P's. Prior planning prevents poor performance. Now that's 5, but there is a 6 if you want to, and you can add your own little P word in there if you'd like. You know, prior planning prevents pretty poor performance or something other than that. Okay. So however,
poor,
you know, you want to.
Poor professional performance.
Poor professional performance. Yes, there's all kinds of P words that you can add in. So there was a lot of flexibility in my teaching as well. So that was, I always say that was my start. And then whenever they wanted to ask, as I went into the role as a general manager at a Courtyard by Marriott Hotel, I was selected as one of the trainers that would train my peers' hotels or the staff at my hotel in something called the Service Advantage. So it stuck with me. Every time I took a new role, I was always volunteered or took the opportunity to say, hey, I'll train that. I'll do that. So it just was natural that as I ended my corporate career, it was, what am I going to do? I really want to do facilitation and training. That's my calling.
Why do you think they selected you? It seems like you got selected and then you'd always overachieve and then get selected for a new role. What was that like secret sauce that Cheryl had that got her selected and found her in these roles and these situations?
You know, I think it's that open-mindedness and the curiosity. I'm just like, oh, I haven't done that before. I got to try that. So, and I guess I'm not afraid to fail because I know I'll learn and I'm not going to truly screw it. I can't truly screw it up. I mean, I'm not doing surgery, right? There's not a life and death situation here. And if I go with an open mindset and be curious and be kind, then I'm not sure how I can go wrong.
I love that. I mean, it's not surgery. If you're doing surgery, please practice a thousand times before you even like walk in the room, basically. But yeah, you fail. What's going to happen? You'll learn from it. You'll move on. Give us, whether it's a challenge or a failure, a difficult moment throughout your career, your life, that you're like, oh my gosh, really wish that didn't happen, but I'm kind of happy I did because I learned this from it or I learned that from it.
Wow, I've got a few of those. I think one was we were downsizing at a lot of changes in organizations, and we were downsizing this one group. And one of my direct reports was really concerned about what was going to happen to her. And I was like, you know what, you've got this. It's okay. Yeah, we're not going to be in the same role we've been doing. We had a really great time building this up, but things happen. There's S curves, that S growth curve. We're at a destructive point where it's time. It's been great, but it's time to change it and move it. So we're part of this. However, every day she kept coming to me, and I was a young manager as well at this time. So I wasn't as savvy, I don't think, as I was now, or use the right words. I didn't have an S-curve language or any of that right then.
Yes. Yeah.
And I had over 100 other people that were reservation agents that we were having to find jobs for. So luckily we were in a major market in the Chicago market. And so there were lots of other, either they could go into our hotels or they could go into other reservation centers like United Airlines or Holiday Inn hotels, things like that. So I was trying to set up those types of sessions for them. Anyway, this one gal, so I had gotten some advice from one of my colleagues that said, well, you should just tell her this. And I followed their advice and I regret it to this day. I wish I could find this woman that used to work for me, because I would take everything back that I had said, that I followed this colleague's advice, which was totally not me, but I didn't know. I thought, well, I've got to break out of my shell and try something new too. And that was the wrong thing to try, because I totally hurt this woman's feelings and I regret it to this day. It just still sticks with me that I will not do anything that someone else thinks is a good idea that I should have listen to my own heart and not done.
Yeah, listen to your own heart. That's what I was going to ask you about. I know this is a tougher question, but like, is there a way to understand and vet through bad advice? Like, how do I know that this advice is not in alignment with me as a leader? This advice isn't going to work? Because I definitely, especially in my early 20s, went through this phase where I would just hear something and I wouldn't always data dive, and I would try it. And I would insult people, I'd insult myself, I'd go in the wrong direction. Are there any red flags? Like, how do I know that this advice or this model is going to work for me and that I should do it?
Well, there are so many things that I wish I had known then that I do know now. And they come around from a lot of various sources. One being crucial conversations, understanding that what is the part of the conversation that you're not holding well, and how to understand, is it the content? Is it a pattern? Is it the relationship? There's also understanding my values. And that's actually some of the things that we go through the course. We actually do a value assessment, because you don't really think about that. And did that violate my values? Yeah, I would not want to have been talked to like that. But I went and did it to someone else. So really thinking about, what are my values and how do I want to show up? How do I want to show up as a leader? And would this violate how I want to show up? Yeah. So really, I totally agree with you. I did not think through things like I do now. And I think that's that youth. And luckily it wasn't brain surgery. And I hope that she's doing well. I think she will. She'll just totally forget about me.
She probably doesn't remember it, but it stuck with you.
Yes. Yes. I think about it. And that was, 30 years ago. So
I like this advice because I'm imagining, and it's not this simple, but it kind of is, you know, just writing down my values and then asking myself that question, does this align with these set of values? And you'd know this better than anyone. It seems like depending on your set of values, certain strategies work for different people. But if it's not aligned with me, does it really matter if it works for Cheryl or Mark or Bill if it's not aligned with Ben's values? So it's kind of finding your own, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the things we talk about in the course. And a lot of times at the end of the course, people will actually share their values again with us because we actually have them do vision boards as well of what they want, what do they envision for their future? What do they envision where they're going to be and how they want to show up. And during that value exercise, when you think about when something may have been uncomfortable at work, when you left another job, when you left something, there was a violation of your values somewhere along that line that caused you to feel that way. So it's really as we start examining and thinking a little bit deeper about, how I really need to pay attention to this and understand what's important to other people that I work with. They have different values than I do. And do I know what they are? Do I know what makes them tick?
To digress a little bit, I'm thinking about the vision board thing. And I'm guessing our opinions are pretty much aligned. But when I think of vision board, I think it's more than just putting the board up. You actually have to take action to accomplish those things, right? Tell me about like the process of setting up a vision board, because I've never done it, and I've always been slow to do it because I'm like, what does putting a vision board on the wall, how is that going to accomplish anything? I actually have to go out and get it, right? But I'm sure it's more than that. I'm sure it's a mold of the two. What is your experience with vision boards and like what kind of success it can bring to people?
So when we tell our participants that they're going to do vision boards, everybody's like, what? Really? And we used to have them do it, you know, on paper. We used to give them a little poster board and, hey, go pick out magazine, just like in grade school, right? Just
That's what I did in grade school. We were cutting out different pictures. Like I cut out Michael Jordan and I cut out a nice dog and a nice house.
So now that we're doing virtual classes, we actually, they do a PowerPoint, right? Which is a lot easier, but still you're going and you're finding what are the words, what are the pictures, what do I want my vision board to look like? And so we first start out before you do your vision boards, we actually do the values exercise. So we understand what our values are. And maybe it's also thinking about what's the mission statement that you have for yourself or at work. What are your goals? What's your bucket list? Things like that. So this can be work related as well as personal. It should be both. Or it can be just personal. That's fine too. And we have had folks who, again, I've got to tell you, we had some executives that were like, a vision board? Are you kidding me? I don't have time for this. And when they came back, because then we have them share their vision boards with each other at class, his was fabulous. He said, I had the most fun doing this activity. He goes, I was dreading it because once I got started, I couldn't stop. He goes, I've spent 2 hours doing this. And so people spend as much time as they feel they need to. There's no judgment. It's yours. It's what you want. So it's really exciting and it does make a difference. And some folks will share their vision board at the end of the 8 weeks as well to say, and I updated it and I made some changes here after this.
So Cheryl, I noticed it in the corner that you have a vision board, right? Is that, do you want to, can you put it up to the camera and maybe explain what we see?
This is my vision board. So it talks about my values of stewardship to others in the planet, continually learning, and collaborating, pursuing and creating a culture of trust, curiosity, and respect, and results with alacrity.
Hmm.
So you can see my, so I got my happy place over here down at Sun Lake, Ontario at our cottage, me water skiing over here, just vacation with my partner, Dave, just stewardship, how we need to leave the planet like we found it for our future generations, but building trust and keep calm and focus on teaching and learning. This is my other cycle of respect.
Cycle of respect.
And the best way to make someone trustworthy is to trust them. So
the best way to make someone trustworthy is to trust them. I like that.
Yeah. So just things I found out. And again, this was my cut out the pictures and put it on the poster board. I do have my PowerPoint version on the back.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So we did a PowerPoint version for our virtual classes. And I actually added my children in because my kids were like, Mom, how come we're not on your vision board? I'm like, oh, that's just a given. You were a given. So.
So did you, is this a recent vision board like you just did, or is it from the past?
This is from 2017 when I actually went through the course as a participant and did my vision board.
So that's what I kind of hoped I'd hear. So this is from 2017. In the 4 to 5 years since then, has much changed in terms of your vision values? Has much of that, have you gotten closer to that vision? What has the progress looked like?
So for me, you know, still these are foundational values that I hold with me. However, I've been open and curious, and I've gotten more into meditation and yoga and different things that, honestly, when I attended my first yoga class, I was always one of these really, I'm a high I in DISC, which is a very high in. I'm an influencer. I like to talk a lot, talk with my hands. You're seeing all that right here. Anybody who knows DISC could just read me like a book. So yoga class was really hard for me because you were slowing down and you're breathing and you're following your breath. And that was just so hard for me. I love that now. I do yoga every morning. Actually, in our course, we have a meditation practice that we, a lot of folks have never done meditation, but we start out just with a guided meditation for 5 minutes at the beginning of every session to just, okay, your day was busy in the morning because our classes are in the afternoon. Let's just put that in a bubble and blow it away right now, because we're now going to get ready for class and be really present here, present for yourself and present for each other.
So a lot of people, especially maybe type A people, super driven, super busy, lots of goals, they're like, meditation, mindfulness. I read right on your website, mindful leader. So this is something that obviously you live by. Is this, what is the results of mindfulness? Like for someone who's really driven and really busy, is it going to slow them down? Because that's what they're thinking. This is going to slow me down. What is the results you can receive from being a mindful leader?
Absolutely does not slow you down. It actually helps you create focus, and it's helped your creativity, your productivity. If you can just clear your head for a few minutes, just take a break and breathe, you refresh yourself, you refresh your mind, you refresh what you were working on, and you're going to start thinking clearer. It's kind of like when you're in the shower, right? You're not thinking about anything. You're just going through some routine of showering. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, things come to you that you've been, you know, solutions to issues or the name of the person you couldn't remember in a conversation. Things come to you much easier. And that's what happens in meditation. And honestly, 30 years ago, if I'd been clearing my head and focusing, I would never have said, you know, something to someone that I regret 30 years later, right? Because I would have thought through it and really gone with a clear head and focused on what was important and how I wanted to show up. So it's very important, especially these days when there's so many things coming at us. So much uncertainty, so much volatility, chaos.
So Cheryl, I'm on board. Mindful leadership. I need more clarity. I need more patience and to see the big picture sometimes. I'm wondering, for someone like me or anyone at home, I don't think we even touched on this. Is there one-on-one consulting as well? Do you go into businesses? Do you do personal consulting, or is the course the main service you offer?
No, I have done coaching as well. And actually, through the course, I also include a one-hour coaching session, because there's, as you're going through this, there's a lot of questions that may come up for some folks, some and others not, but we still have great conversations. I learn a lot about the background of some of the folks in our class. And this is what I mean, that unlimited potential is folks who are doing some compliance work or some work during the day, but they have a side gig that they do photography. And when they share their photos, it's like, oh my gosh. So really tapping into your people is just so, so critical, because they all have so many qualities and skills that you don't even know about that when they come to their job. And so that's just so rewarding for me to really understand that.
I love it. So there is one-on-one as part of the 8-week program. You're open-minded for inquiries. I'm sure you're open-minded to answer a couple emails, a LinkedIn message. How does someone reach out to you and learn more about this, Cheryl?
So the best way to reach me is through LinkedIn. So connect with me on LinkedIn and send me a message, because if I don't know you, I probably won't accept your LinkedIn request, but just message me. And or even go through the MCC Workforce and Economic Development program, and you'll find our course, Conscious Leader, Conscious Culture, in their portfolio of offerings. This is not the community college, it's the workforce and economic development side of things. And I've also done consulting on Lean Six Sigma. I am a Lean Six Sigma Master Black Belt, which gets that agility piece in there. So I'm a big proponent of lean and really process improvement, along with how we take care of our people. So, and bringing leadership into that, all rolls into one.
It all does roll into one, and I'll be in touch with you. I'll put those links in the course. I know personally, because I talked to MCC about this. They will offer some sponsorship, so you can get ultimately a lot of the course sponsored for you. It's something worth looking into, at the very least, in my opinion. We're almost out of time. It's my fault, Cheryl, because I'm the one who had internet issues and all sorts of stuff today, but I won't let you get off the hook without the rapid fire round. Quick, easy, short, either or fill in the blank questions. No right or wrong answers, just whatever. Whatever you want to say is whatever. Yeah, it's up to you.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person?
Yes.
Music. Do you have a favorite band? Do you have a favorite pump-up song?
Oh my gosh. I do have a lot of favorite pump-up songs, and they're on my fun Spotify playlist, yes. Which my kids make total fun of me, because it's all the, you know, Uptown Funk and September, you know. So I've got a very wide range, from country to big band to rock and roll to jazz. So classic rock.
It's actually called the Fun Playlist for Spotify. Yeah. I'm curious, are you like me and all nerdy, where you have playlists for multiple different moods? What are some of the other playlists you put together?
So I have my fun playlist. I have my happy day playlist. That's again when we're out in the boat. So I have a wedding playlist, because my daughter just got married last year. So I was accumulating music for that. And I'm trying to think what else I have. And then I just have, you know, artists that I like, James Taylor, good grief. Some of the ones I'm just drawing a blank right now.
No, fair enough. That's I would draw a blank as well. I pull it out. I just click play and it's already ready for me. I already set it up. So
Christmas playlist.
Christmas playlist this time of year. Exactly. Yeah. This won't come out till after Christmas though, Cheryl, unfortunately. Okay. So we're listening to it after Christmas. We'll do one more question. Give us some homework. What can I do? What can the listener do today, this week, you know, maybe in an hour or less to start getting a little momentum here? And then obviously reach out to you with any questions, take the course if we can, but what homework should I do today?
You know what? I just would say, be curious. If something hits you the wrong way, don't get mad about it. Just be curious about, why am I feeling this way? What's wrong with that? And how can I think differently about that, that wouldn't make me upset? So be curious.
That sounds like pretty easy homework. We could start that right now. Well, awesome. I remain curious all conversation. I wish I could have you another hour, but I know your time's valuable, and I appreciate you taking the time with me and all of us ultimately listening today. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Great. Well, thank you, Ben, so much. This has been a pleasure. I've had a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.